the Vine. Another twist to the Sonya Massey saga. But first, if you listen to Benjamin Crump read the autopsy report, I don't know if they picked him because he sounds like a 1800s field Negro who just learned how to read and doesn't know how to pronounce words right. That's how he sounds. I'm pretty sure you heard him in press conferences. And there's a reason why they make him sound dumbed down. I don't believe that he talks like this in court. He can't. But if you listen to him speak, they don't understand why we, African Americans, this is a tragic travesty. There's a reason why he talks that way. Because they believe African Americans are so dumbed down that they need the low frequency people to pay attention. And you can't get them to pay attention if you talk like Barack Obama. When Barack Obama came out, smooth talking, beguiled everybody, deceived everybody. But because of the music is dumbed down, because our generation is dumbed down, they need somebody that can understand. So I think that's why he talks like that. As soon as you see him jump on stage, you know from then on out, it's a Masonic managed case. That means they only have him come out if they can manage a narrative, which is what they want to use our deaths for. It's nothing more than a modern day blood sacrifice. This is what we're seeing. And I explained this on both of my pages, that there is a fraternal order of police. They brag and boast that it's 330,000 members. They have over that, but they use 330,000. Why? Because of the number 33. They have 2,100 lodges, probably over more than that. But 2 + 1 = 3. 777, 3 × 7. That's a Kabbalah number. But these people are a walking death cult. It's the cult of Baal. It's Babylon all over again. And if you go to the cult of Baal map or the illustration, it's easy to look that up online. You would see the cult of Baal on one side, and you see human sacrifice on one side, and you see all the organizations from all periods and centuries of these organizations and doctrines that all somewhat serve the cult of Baal. Knights Templar, Freemasons, the Canaanites, like it's all the different types of organizations that come into this world that have the same doctrine. And I said this before in the last episode, to serve Satan, it is through your blood and it's through your sexuality. Money is just the offshoot. If you can do one of those two things, money will come. That's what the whole thing about Moloch was. That they would get some type of advancement, even in those days, some type of advancement, some type of benefit if they did this. And they just set up governments around it. And in the county that this incident happened in, they have a Masonic, they have Fraternal Order of Police Masonic Lodge, Lodge number 55. Same county. I'm not saying that Grayson is a Freemason, but I ran his name. His name equals 36. And Chaldean, which is the Babylonians. Sonya Massey was 36. So you have to understand that demons work through the spiritual realm first before they manifest themselves in the flesh. Just as they praise and pray over certain songs that they want to be number one hits, they tell you they do it. It leaks out that they do it. That whenever they want a song to be a number one hit, they pray over it. Demonically pray over it. They do seances or whatever they do at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what they do. So if they want a blood sacrifice to work, They have to work lower magic. Demons can move too. Demons can bless too. We go back to Book of Jubilees or Book of Yasher. It talks about Prince Mastema begging Yahuwah to allow some of the demons to be under his control because the minds and the hearts of men are wicked and they are used to destroy man who want to be wicked. So the Most High allowed him to have some of these demons who weren't out of control. There were some demons that were just out of control. And Noah pleaded, was like, please, they are attacking my children. You have to get rid of some of them, if not all. And Prince Mastema had a conversation with Yahuwah, said, let some of them be under my control, under my command. And the Most High let it happen. That's why in that verse he says, I create light, I create darkness, I create evil, I control all these things. I allow this to happen. And I use them for my benefit. Just like Prince Mastema was used at the time of Exodus. Prince Mastema was the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart. But he had to be bound because then he wanted to take it too far. Because when they were trying to leave Egypt, they were going to leave, but they wanted the gold. They wanted the vessels of gold. They wanted the jewelry. They wanted everything that Egypt had. In order for them to have that, to have those possessions, that abundance, Prince Mastema had to be bound for a couple of days so they could flee. Prince Mastema wanted to keep going. He wanted to have Pharaoh and his men to continue to search for the Israelites to kill him. So that's why he had to be bound. What do you think in these last days when our second exodus come? You don't think, as it's mentioned in Baruch chapter 27, that these demons will again manifest themselves and start working their magic, working their low-level frequencies upon men so that they would need to be bound when we go through our second exodus, when we spoil America. That's why I can't stand when you black folks talk about and whine about reparations. Why would you want debt fiat currency when they're trying to crash the, or they're crashing the dollar? Don't you want substance? Don't you want to walk out of here or walk out of Fort Knox with gold, silver? Shoot, you can grab your purse or two. You can grab a Birkin or two. Grab a Maybach while you're out there, a Lambo. We will be able to spoil America just like the Israelites in that time spoiled Egypt. They walked up out of there with that stuff. We will walk out of here with some stuff. But those who are faithful and obedient, because those who aren't faithful and obedient are going to end up like Sonya Massey. And the fact that of all the police brutality victims, they have never gone back 115 years for somebody else's bloodline or somebody else's relative in the same city, same county, same state to bring up some incident that happened to them that mirrors what happened to a distant relative. They have never done that. They didn't do it with Michael Brown. They didn't do it with Trayvon Martin or any other of the victims of police brutality. So why was this girl so special? Because they tailed her. They went through her bloodline. And like I said before, when we talked about vices and generational curses, I said, you better start cleaning those up. Because it's not just those demons who know your vices through your bloodlines. It's when they start manifesting these rituals into the fleshy form, they know your history. You, the only one, don't know it. They know your entire history. They know everything. So they researched this girl and they went through with who can we get out of this bloodline that we can sacrifice? And they picked somebody who's may have been mentally ill. A single black mother by herself, mentally ill. She was an easy pick. They knew that she was going to unravel. Now, we don't know what she was talking about in this cop. But let me go back to the relative first. There was a guy named Will K. Dunham. D-O-N-N-E-G-A-M. I guess the G is silent or not. I don't know. Dungum or whatever. He was killed in a race riot. He was a wealthy businessman who made shoes for Abraham Lincoln. Now, there's that Abraham programming because Abraham was around, was a president during the Civil War. And the movie Civil War had just came out. So they've been trying to get us into a civil war with each other. White versus black, Christian versus Muslim, the right versus left, Democrats versus Republican. They brewing this. Okay, so they know they found the right relative. He was killed because he was married to a white woman. He went to the police for help. They didn't offer him no protection. And there's a case in 1856 where the Supreme Court upheld that the police departments all over are not obligated to protect you in harm unless you're in your custody, and not even then. If you understand the Sandra Bland case. But in 1856, they stated that the police are not obligated to keep you out of harm. That means, say you're going through a shootout or someone's shooting at you, the police aren't obligated to show up and protect you. They can literally sit there and watch you get shot to death. True story. Just look it up. That's what they can do. They can let you be shot and then find a different, and then just clean your body up. They don't have to show up and do nothing for you. But they beat this man up. They slit his throat, hung him on a tree, and he was still alive. And then he ends up dying in the hospital, the same hospital I think they took Sonia Massey to. But you want to know some funny numerology? 115 years this incident happened between them. 11-5 is the day of the election. 11 plus 5 is 16. She died 16 days after the summer solstice, which is this pagan rituals of killing people. Like I said, the Fraternal Order of Police have over 330,000 members. That 330 number, she died 3 months, 30 days from her death to the election. So from the day that she died, take 3 months and 30 days, we're at election time on 11-5. She went from, if you look at the body cam, she went from somebody's knocking up, somebody's around my house, which they could send somebody to her house to bang around it, to scare her. Because they must have picked the perfect time because her kids weren't there. And she has a teenager and some other kids. So where were they? Somebody must have said, like, yo, let me have these kids on this random day, this random night that those kids weren't there. So they could have easily sent somebody around her house so the police would show up. She was on the phone with the police department and they showed up. So when she came to the door, which is funny, if you watch the body cam, she happens to come to the door around 1:16 in the morning. Upside down, that's 9-11. 9-11 is human blood sacrificing in numerology. I don't know if she intended it. I don't know if the demons were working this way, but that's what happened. Because they were at her door for 5 minutes, knocking on her door, trying to get her to come out. And then they said, oh, we searched around the neighborhood. We searched around the backyard, the front yards, the neighbor's yards. We didn't see anything. And then they asked about the car. Whose car is this? She goes, they go, is this your car? She goes, no. Is this your car right here? She goes, no. And then they were about to leave. All right, man, ma'am, just if you need anything else, you know, we good. So Grayson stays behind and goes, let me see your ID. She goes back into the house. They follow her in the house. That was her fatal flaw. What she could have done is like, hold on. She could have shut the door and then came back with the ID. But she let them in the house. There was a movie called, I think, Let Me In, where this little girl is a vampire. And She's been using young boys, because she doesn't age, she's been using young boys to go from town to town, city to city. And when these boys get too old, she obviously, these young boys fall in love with the girl when she was young and when they were young. But the guy grows old, and he can't do it anymore as far as trapping individuals to feed to her. So anyway, the part in the movie where she meets another young boy and she stands at his doorway, and he was like, "Why don't you just come in? Just come in." And she goes, "You have to ask me to." He's, "That's ridiculous." And he pulls her in. And when he pulls her in, she just starts convulsing and hemorrhaging blood. And then he goes, "Oh, okay, you can come in, you can come in." And then it stops. So it's basically like demons. You have to ask permission for, they have to have permission for them to come in. You have to open up some portal in your life, some through some sin, through some vice. You open up a portal for them to enter your life. They don't just come in and just oppress you for no reason. They have to have a reason. They have to have a spiritual, legal right to come into your life. You cause it. So, like I said, the demons work in a spiritual form and they manifest themselves through flesh. So then Grayson pushed. He was like, "Let me see your ID." So they go into her house. After they were about to leave, they go into her house. Then they asked about the car again. So then she talks about the car being hers. Like, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was a dent, something, something, something." Then she goes, "I got my paperwork. I don't know how I went from being about the car. No, matter of fact, I don't know what it went from being about the stranger to being about the car to being about her ID to now going back to her paperwork." And she was on the phone with another police dispatch at the same time. He was trying to get her to turn to take the, to hang the phone up. Then they see the pot of water boiling. So I don't know if maybe they told him, maybe they told her, like, "Look, if you don't have any weapons in the house, what you should do is boil some water and then get ready to throw it on." They could have set her up with that. We don't know. That's another piece in the puzzle. We don't know what that police department or what that person on the phone told her before they showed up. We don't, I'm pretty sure we won't get those, get that 911 call, 911 call. But that's what could have happened. They could have said, "Look, boil some hot water and get ready to throw it on if you don't have the weapon in the house." So that's probably what she did. And if you saw the body cam, he points his finger to it. He goes, and then that's what she jumps up and goes over there, takes the water off the stove, and that was it. That's all they needed. They needed for her to have something in her hand so they can be like, "Okay, this is the reason why we killed her." But they were already wanting to sacrifice her. They did the history. They know what time. They know what date. That means they did this months to almost maybe a year in advance. And then now we're going to run with, "In Jesus' name, I rebuke you." The Essence magazine ran that. "In Jesus' name, I rebuke you." I don't know why she said that. I think that was maybe one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in the midst of a conversation between a civilian and a cop. "Oh, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." They were joking. They backed up and joked. It's like, "Oh, we don't, we get away from your hot water." "Oh, my hot water. Oh, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you." That's maybe one of the dumbest things I've ever heard someone say in that situation. And then they went from "ha ha ha" to "put it down, you better not, I'm gonna shoot you in the effing face." And then all of a sudden she, okay, and ducks. But that was it. And the police didn't have his, well, they said he turned his body cam off. But it was on when he shot. And then, of course, they layer it for the black community. They layer it with all these things like, "Oh, he's been going from police department to police department." That don't mean nothing. "Oh, he had a DUI." That don't mean nothing. No one knows if he ever was a problem in all these other police departments. You can just easily move from police department to police department. They never said why the reason why he moved from so many departments. But if you're going to get into the spiritual war, truly, you need to know the real weapons that's going to defend you in these last days. And y'all think, and most believers think, that the name of Jesus has some power when it does not have power. I know it doesn't have power because celebrities and Hollywood use it as if it's a curse or it's a filler word. I said this before, it doesn't have power. I don't care who you are, it don't have power. Like I said, demons can bless too. Demons can make you feel that what you're doing is right. I've heard people on the comment section say, well, I rebuke Jesus and I rebuke demons in my dream in the name of Jesus. And I said, I would easily come back, well, if the dream isn't sent by the Most High, do not put your faith in it. Scripture states, if it's not sent by the Most High, do not put your faith in it. When demons want you to continue doing something, they'll set up a thing in your dream to make you feel like you have power to do something, to keep you in a demonic attachment. Just like you read in the Testament of Solomon, there is a demon named Hornias, and what he does is transform himself from a male to a female just to make you think you're sleeping with a female. That's what he does in the dream world. So if you go to Yasher chapter 23, verse 38-39, Abraham, when he was going up to the mountain with Yitzchak, his son, to do the offering, to sacrifice, Satan tried to stop him. Satan transformed himself into a brook. He transformed himself into a young man. He's transformed himself into an old man. I talked about this story in a previous episode. But that's what happens. That's what happened. And Abraham rebuked him. He rebuked him 3 times. Did he use the name of Jesus? No. He wouldn't either, even if Yahushua walked this earth or he came before Abraham, I don't think would even use that name. But he used the name of Yahuwah. He said, I rebuke you in the name of Yahuwah. And says Satan was terrified at the voice of Abraham and flew. Or flee. He did this 3 times. Anytime he said, oh, I'll rebuke you in the name of Yahuwah, he left. He went away. Yitzchak did the same thing. So this whole, I rebuke people and I rebuke demons in the name of Jesus, it ain't in scripture. You can't find me one scripture where they rebuked in the name of Jesus. You can't find me one scripture where they rebuked in the name of Yeshua. Even when Yahushua was casting out demons and unclean spirits in synagogues and in the street, he didn't say, in the name of my name, remove yourself. He would just say, come out. Because these demons know who he is. They know his name. It's only us that's too dumb that don't know his name. And continue to be like, no, I like Jesus because it's traditional in my family to keep passing down this doctrine of Christianity, to think that Jesus has power. It didn't have power when we were under curses. That religion didn't work. That name didn't work. We went through all those curses all those years, and that name didn't alleviate any of the suffering. But in Exodus 23, what were we warned not to do in Exodus 23:13? And in all things that I have said unto you, be guarded, and make no mention of the name of other Elohim, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. And what we get in trouble for, it's particularly Judah or Yehuda, Malachi 2:11, Yehuda has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Yashareel and in Yerushalayim. For Yehuda has profaned the holiness of Yahuwah, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a strange El. So as a curse, we were sent into slavery because we kept worshiping foreign gods. We kept going after other people's religions. So he said, all right, I'm going to watch over you for evil. And I'm going to send you away so you can do exactly what you want to do and watch you get destroyed by it. So all you see is a generational curse happening. That's about it. That's why I force upon you that you can't just lollygag and be lax with your healing or with your recovery or with your coming out of this world. Because the Most High has expressed that I planted seeds, and if the thing that comes not up in its due season, which means if you do not come to the fullness of his gospel in due season, that it's going to catch you. Whatever's coming, whatever his hand is waved over in judgment, it's going to catch you. So you either get smacked in the back of the head or you've already prepared yourself to duck. So every day when you wake up, every instance in your life, if you don't clean those things out that are vices to you, you are going to be caught in the midst of judgment. And that's all that was with her, was judgment. 36 years old and not being able to come into the fullness of the gospel and the fullness of the truth, that is what happens. Because they like to say in church, and your mothers like to say it, your grandmothers love to say it, that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. Now, mind you, if he's going to devour somebody out of his own time and schedule, he's going to want you to know about it. Would he not? If Satan wants the glory and wants the praise and wants the worship to himself, if he wants to go out after somebody, wouldn't you think that he would want you to know it was him? So how is he gonna let you know without him manifesting himself and doing it himself? How is he gonna let you know? He's gonna let you know through numerology. He's gonna let you know through the doctrines that the police departments are under, or politics or government. He's gonna put something in your face to show you that it's him. He may not say it by name, but it's going to definitely be by numbers. It's going to be by organization. It's going to be by doctrine. It's going to be by symbolism. And what you see is him having legal right to destroy anybody who is not following the way. I want to read this First Baruch chapter 2 real quick. Therefore, you who has made good his word, which he pronounced against us and against our judges that judge Yashareel, and against our kings and against our princes and against the men of Yashareel and Yehuda, to bring upon us great plagues such as never happened under the whole heaven, as it came to pass in Jerusalem, according to the things that were written in the Torah of Moshe, that a man should eat the flesh of his own son and the flesh of his own daughter. He done turned us into cannibals. You want to sacrifice your children? I'm going to make you eat them. Moreover, he has delivered them to be in subjection to all the kingdoms that are round about us, to be as a reproach and desolation among all the people round about where Yahuwah has scattered them. True, this happens. Thus we were cast down and not exalted, because we have sinned against Yahuwah Elohanu and have not been obedient unto his voice. I keep telling people we are set apart and are made to be different. We can't be in certain environment and spaces anymore because we are not those people. We can't be like the rest of the world. Because what comes out of these incidents when cops kill black folk is, oh, they get away with doing this. Oh, they get to do that. When white people do it, they get to do this. When they took Dylan Roof into custody, they took him to Burger King. So what? It don't save him from the fire. That's between him and Yah. But what did he do? He went in there and killed Christians. when we were told not to be in other people's religions. You see instances of judgment, but if you see it through the flesh, you see a white man killing black folk, which sets you off because all the 1960s programming you have gotten since the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. They keep repeating you the curses and none of the blessings. So the reason why these people still get caught in these spaces of judgment is because they're getting caught doing things they're not supposed to be doing. And yes, sometimes there are victims, there are children that are too young, like especially Tamir Rice. But then you go back to the scripture where he says, I will visit the sins of the fathers from through the fourth and fifth generation of them that hate me. So it's still judgment. So if you know, if you don't want to get right, if you don't want to come into the full season of the gospel, the full season of your growth, it will turn over onto your children, and then it will pass down to your children's children. They will struggle with you what you could not conquer. So if you're not going to do it for yourself, at least do it for them. They have no parts in your foolishness. Just like we didn't have no parts of our descendants doing that foolishness, which ended up on top of us. That bill, regardless of what generation it comes through, that bill is coming due. If your forefathers lived wickedly and did not repent, that curse jumps onto your bloodline and those demons jump and follow you until they get to somebody who's susceptible, and they'll ride you to death. They'll ride you to a ritual. So through your foolishness, you're cursing the generation after you. And then they pass that down if they don't have the full truth and understanding to fight it. So he's faithful and true to what he said he was going to do to us and to do to those who don't follow his word. For all these plagues are come upon us, which Yahuwah has pronounced against us. Yet have we not prayed before Yahuwah that we might turn everyone from the imaginations of his wicked heart? Wherefore, Yahuwah watched over us for evil, and Yahuwah has brought it upon us. For Yahuwah is righteous in all his works which he has commanded us. Yet we have not hearkened unto his voice to walk in the commandments of Yahuwah that he has set before us. And now, O Yahuwah Elohim of Yashareel, that have brought your people out of the land of Mizraim with a mighty hand and a high arm, and with signs and with wonders and with great power, and have gotten yourself a name as appears this day, O Yahuwah Elohanu, we have sinned, we have done wickedness, we have dealt unrighteously in all your ordinances. Let your wrath turn from us, for we are but a few left among the heathen where you have scattered us. Hear our prayers, O Yahuwah, and our petitions, and deliver us from your own sake, and give us favor in the sight of them which has led us away. This goes back to the blessings and the curses, but I'm giving you the curses for, I'm giving you as the groundwork for where our blessings come from. It come from following the ordinances, the statutes, the commandments, and all the things that he has loved from his people, we should do them. That all earth may know that you are Yahuwah Elohanu, because Yashareel and his posterity is called by your name. O Yahuwah, look down from your holy house and consider us. Bow down your ear, O Yahuwah, to hear us. Open your eyes and behold, for the dead that are in the graves, whose souls are taken from their bodies, will give unto Yahuwah neither praise nor righteousness. But the soul that is greatly vexed, which goes stooping and feeble, and the eyes that fail, and the hungry soul will give you praise and righteousness, O Yahuwah. Therefore, we do not make your humble supplication before you, O Yahuwah Elohanu, for the righteousness of our fathers and of our kings. For you have sent out your wrath and indignation upon us, as you have spoken by your servants the prophets, saying, Thus says Yahuwah, bow down your shoulders to serve the king of Babel, so shall ye remain in the land that I gave unto your fathers. But if ye will not hear the voice of Yahuwah to serve the king of Babel, I will cause to cease out of the cities of Yehud and from without Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of joy, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the whole land shall be desolate of inhabitants. This is again goes back to new moon offerings and new moon sacrifices and using the moons as it is used as a female and the sun a man. Because I said before in the description about the moon that she being a she, we are also looked at as a she. We are looked at as a bride. The Most High is looked at as the husband or the bridegroom, just like Yahusha is looked at as the bridegroom that is coming back. So brothers got into this, oh, the moon doesn't have a purpose because she's a female and she shouldn't be above the sun. No, it should be equal because that's how the Most High set it. He set the moon to be equal just like the sun, but for a different purpose. We are looked at as a she. We are looked at as the bride, and we need to get ready for our bridegroom to come back. We don't know when he's coming back, but the point is to be faithful and loyal to him while he's gone. That's why in Hosea 2:16, the Most High said, do not call me Lord. Do not call me Baal. I want them to call me Ishai, which is the Hebrew name for husband. I want them to call me husband. I am married to them. Which means him being married to us, that means he's always faithful. He does not cheat us. We are the whores. We are the ones that go running after other idols and rebuking in the name of Jesus Christ or doing Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, these worldly ways. We are the ones of whoring that he has to reprimand us to get us to stop whoring for us to come back to him. When we find out by us cheating, by seeing that the grass is greener on the other side, we get tore up. We get punished. We get our clothes stripped off of us. And when he says, I will punish you, that means we go whoring after other people's religions where we forget the new moons, we forget the Shabbats, we forget his holy feast days. That's how he strips us. He strips us naked by taking away new moons, new moon offerings, new moon feast days, his feast days, Sukkot, Sukkot, Tabernacles. He takes these things from us for us to go wandering around with other nations that won't help us. Traditions and fashions that won't help us. And then we come back crying, please take me back. Please take me back. I'll be good. I'll be good. I won't cheat. And he's loyal and faithful and loves us enough that he allows us to keep doing it until we get it right. But we will not hearken unto your voice to serve the king of Babel. Therefore, have you made good the words that you spoke by your servants and the prophets, namely, that the bones of our kings and the bones of our fathers should be taken out of their place. And lo, they are cast out to the heat of the day and to the frost of the night. And they died in great miseries by famine, by sword, and by pestilence. And the house which is called by your name have you laid waste, as it is to be seen this day. For the wickedness of the house of Yashrael and the house of Yehuda. O Yahuwah Elohanu, you have dealt with us after all your goodness and according to all that great mercy of yours, as you spoke by your servant Moshe in the day when you did command him to write the Torah before the children of Yashrael, saying, if we will not hear my voice, surely this very great multitude shall be turned into a small number among the nations where I will scatter them. For I knew that they would not hear me because it is a stiff-necked people. But in the land of their captivities, they shall remember themselves and shall know that I am Yahuwah Elohim. For I will give them a heart and ears to hear, and they shall praise me in the land of their captivity and think upon my name and return from their stiff neck and from their wicked deeds. For they shall remember the way of their fathers which sinned before Yahuwah. And I will bring them again into the land which I promised with an oath unto their fathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they shall be Adonim of it. And I will increase them, and they shall not be diminished. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them to be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And I will no more drive my people of Yashareel out of the land that I have given them. Now they went to a couple more captivities out of Babylon. So he's talking about this time period. And Deuteronomy 28:68 says it will be the last captivity. So he's telling Baruch, before he took Baruch up, remember, Baruch and Ezra did not see death. So I'm taking these words to heart. You can't tell me one Christian that had been taken up that the Most High spoke to and showed revelation. You can't find one in Scripture. So I'm going with the words of what Baruch said, or what he told Baruch. And what he's telling him in that last verse is, this is our last captivity. And the only reason if you're getting destroyed right now is because you are lingering in generational curses. You are lingering in your vices. You are lingering in this world. You are lingering in your own ignorance. And they keep showing you in different forms of blood sacrificing that the people they are getting caught up and following and investigating and doing a history report on their bloodline are demons manifesting themselves in the fleshly realm to be a sacrifice, to be a lesson to those who are knowing what's going on, to show you that these people can only touch you if you are spiritually out of order. If you are not in a legal right, biblical legal right, you can be touched. You can be touched. Look at Yosef. When he went into captivity, when he went into captivity to Egypt, he was watched over. As much as he knew that he was being watched over, he still complained, he still cried, he still whined, and they had to keep smacking upside his head to get him to shut up whimpering, to be strong, to show courage. That was the whole point of the Most High being a watchman over him and sending angels to watch him. Because he knew. He wasn't allowed to fall victim of some weird sacrifice, but he was watched over because he knew Yahuwah was there and he was spiritually in a legal right not to be killed. He was in a prison house he was supposed to be in that prison house for 10 years to Potiphar. But 2 years were tacked on because he was trying to get himself out of prison and not wait for the Most High to get him out of prison. So the Most High punished him for two more years to be in prison because Yah wanted to be the one to set him free and have him understand that it was me who set you free, not by your own right, not by you being able to decipher dreams, that it was me that gave you this gift to interpret dreams. I'm going to set the bounds of when you should be able to leave the prison house. But Yosef tried to do it on his own, and that's the Most High punished him for 2 more years. So this lesson today is about being spiritually legal. And while you're spiritually legal, is to place all of your cares, your worries, what's ailing your heart, your ruach, your countenance, over to the Most High and allow him to do it. When you meddle, when you try to do it yourself, this is what happens. When you try to do it, when you go through your own vanity, your own selfishness, your own pride, and you try to do it yourself, you'll end up in two ways. You'll be given over to a reprobate mind and have yourself end up like these blood sacrifices and police brutality victims. Or you'll be in the prison house longer than you need to be in the prison house until you get the understanding that you need to put it all on him. And the funny numerology out of that, I'm just going to bring this up before I close out, that there were 10 commandments. It was 10 days Abraham was in jail to Nimrod before he was able to escape the fire and his brother didn't, because his brother wasn't faithful or loyal to the Most High. But Abraham was. Revelation 2:10 denotes that in the last days, Satan will throw some of us in jail, but only for 10 days. So the Most High has given us weapons of war to work with to save us in these last days by giving us stories of how it happens. There is a reason why some of these numbers repeat themselves if you have true full understanding of how this world works. That means if I understand in Freemasonry that they do not dislodge that number 33, that it's never 32, it's never 31, it's never 34, it's never 35, it's always 33. They are bound to this number. That means I know they get this from somewhere. So when the Most High tell me it's going to be 10 plagues and 10 commandments and it's going to be 10 days that some of us may be thrown in jail, I know that 10th day I'm walking out of there. That 10th day, something's going to be shaking. But if I am like Abraham's brother And I'm like, I don't know, but if I see a fellow servant of Yah walk up out of there in the 10th day, I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to serve Baal if I don't get out of this jail in 10 days. Or I'm going to serve Yah if I do get out of here for 10 days, because that's what was going on in Abraham's mind. And that's the reason why he died. And the Most High tried his mind and his heart in this matter, and that's why he died in the fire. But Abraham stayed faithful. So if you look at Joseph, he's like, well, I'm in this situation and I can get myself out by just using the gift that Yah gave me. So I'm going to try to get myself out of this prison house. And Yah's like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm setting up something during a time period that's going to allow you to get out so you can prepare for the famine that's coming. So then I can send your brothers up there. This is all my plan. This ain't your plan. This is my plan. You trying to get out the prison house sooner than you're supposed to get out, which will dislodge the famine, dislodge your brothers coming up and seeing you, dislodge everything that I have prepared. But since you want to do it this way, I'm going to tack on 2 more years. So that's why we go through scripture and we look up certain instances of where it worked and where it failed. But because Joseph was faithful, was still faithful and called on Yahuwah, still weep to Yahuwah, he was given grace and mercy. So Yahuwah didn't destroy Joseph for trying to get himself out early. Look at Moshe. He was in the prison house of his, before it was his father-in-law. He was in the prison house because he was escaped from Egypt. And it was like, well, he's a slave. He's escaped. We got to throw him in a dungeon and hope if someone catches him, it won't be us harboring a fugitive. So if he's a fugitive from Egypt, we're going to put him in a prison house to see if somebody comes looking for him. So how long do you think he was down there for? He was down there for 10 years. And his daughter, Zipporah, was giving him food, nourishment, those 10 years, because they just left him down there and thought he was going to die without giving him food. But she was sneaking him food. But it was that last day of the 10th year, he came up out of there to fulfill his purpose. It didn't say that he complained or tried to get him out or whined. He just stood up in there for 10 years, 10 toes down. And when it was time for him to get up out of there, he got up out of there. And then he went to Mount Sinai, and that's how the Most High called him out, to get him to go back into Egypt. But these numbers mean something. So when the Most High tell me at the end of 10 something, especially being in prison, it's going to happen. So if you go through scripture and it says that even the Most High, Yahuwah, has rebuked Satan, even Abraham has rebuked Satan 3 times, none of them use the name Jesus Christ. None of the names that they used had anything to do with the Greek name. So if I'm going to rebuke somebody, I'm going to get full understanding and know what worked. If I'm going to be thrown in jail or in captivity, I'm going to go with what worked. If I'm going to be blessed while I'm in the land of my captivity, I'm going to go with what works. I'm not going to try to do it on my own. I'm going to read what makes him happy. And that's the problem with our nation, even the Hebrew community too. That's the problem with us. We get too much full of understanding and we want to do things ourselves. We want to change the calendar as we see fit. We want to post about Shabbat Shalom every set Friday and Saturday because we're so in our pride of who we are. Now we want to copy the nations that we think stole our identity. So we want to follow everything they do. And no one has ever showed me the new moon offerings. No one has ever shown me a new moon offering post. No one says, oh, this is the new moon feast day. Hey, happy new moon feast day, everybody. I never see that. I always see Shabbat Shalom on Saturday or Friday evening to Saturday evening. That's the only one post I be seeing. But if you go to Numbers 10, 1 through 10, we are supposed to make a trumpet of silver. And we're supposed to offer ascending smoke offerings to the Most High in our beginning of the months. And if you look at the King James Version, it says the first day of the month. We are supposed to do ascending smoke offerings mingled with oil, mingled with flour. That's what it says. He said, throughout your months of the year, the beginning of the months, you are supposed to give me an ascending smoke offering. Numbers 15 shows you in detail what is acceptable. Now, mind you, the measurements that I looked up, and they say like a hen of oil, a hen of flour, a hen of wine, that's like a gallon of wine and a lot of flour because they were offering full animals. Now, he's understanding of us that we don't have flocks of animals and herds, and we are not in our land. We do not have farms. But we do got grocery stores that sell steak. We do got grocery stores that sell lamb. We do got grocery stores that sell oil, flour, and wine. So there's really no excuse for us to not to do the beginning of the month, new moon offerings for every month. So that's why I'm saying that the new moon is somewhat important to the Most High. It's somewhat important because it orders the rest of the week. It orders the Shabbats. The phases of the moon mean something to the Most High. It ain't just randomly up there changing for no reason. He's using it just like they use a clock, like a sundial clock. It's the same. The phases of the moon are used. You could almost look at us being the phases of the moon. The sun never changes. The sun is bright regardless. But the moon goes through so many phases and changes. The sun pours into the moon. It needs to pour into it to get light. Just like the Most High needs to pour into us. We change and go through phases just like we go through being disobedient. We're ever changing. I would say that the sun gives the moon grace and mercy that keeps filling it up, even though it changes. It loses its light, just like we lose our light over time because we're in our own foolishness. We're in our vices. We're in our vanity. And the only time we are called perfect is when we what? We are full of light. When we are a full moon. Yasharel is like the moon, the phases of the moon. Every time they go dark, they enter captivity. Then they come back to, okay, Lamentations. Then it's, oh, we'll do good. We'll do good. We'll do good. And then another nation be around us. Oh, we'll do bad. We'll do bad. We'll do bad. We'll gain light and righteousness. And as soon as we get it, we go back to sinning and we lose our light. We lose our light. It's like we are the changing of the moon. That's the understanding. But all of this is how we worship the Father, to be called righteous, to be an acceptable smoke offering to him as for our souls, so we can be out of this land and go into our homeland and then reap the benefits. Like, why wouldn't you want to? You really want to stay here with these people and suffer with them and not be set apart from them? You want to catch the same hell they're going to catch? Because I'm telling you, in the next episode, I'm going to talk about how the Most High in the book Yasher killed 1,000 energetic men of war who are Egyptians for the cost of one Israelite child. For the cost of one Israelite child, 1,000 men died in Egypt. So imagine all the children they had thrown in the river, the children that they killed during their time, their bondage in Egypt, that they stuffed in bricks, that they killed just to rub the children's blood on the sores and infections of Pharaoh when he was going through the plague. Just imagine how many children they killed. So 1,000 for each child. Now you look at America. How many children did you know that they threw in the Florida swamps to those gators? That's 1,000 per child. You look at George Stinney Jr., who was a young black boy who was tried for these missing two white girls, and then they find him innocent 70 years later. They took a Bible, put it under his butt, and they electrocuted this young black boy. The youngest black boy that ever were electrocuted in the United States, they electrocuted him off a lie. That's 1,000, maybe if not 2,000 bodies that's going to come from that. Emmett Till, that's 1,000 men coming from that. Those three little girls that were bombed in the church in Birmingham. That's 4,000 people from that. You take every massacre, you take Black Wall Street, you take every uprising that has ever happened that they laid hands on the children. I'm not even getting into the adults, but they laid hands on those children and hung them, burned them, killed them, stretched them. You take 1,000 out of each of those children, and you can just imagine the bodies that's going to pile up in this country when he comes back for judgment. And you can allow people to say, well, I wasn't there. I had nothing to do with it. You could be a Gentile, a European, a white person, whatever you call yourself. You can sit there and say, well, I had nothing to do with it. And I could tell you the same argument. I had nothing to do with Mount Sinai. I had nothing to do with what my forefathers did in chasing Baal, chasing Mardu, chasing Nimrod. I had nothing to do with that. But then those curses did not run upon us, run up on our front yards, just the same. We were suffering in 2017, 16, 15, 14. We were far away from slavery, and those curses still caught us. So just like it will catch you if you don't come out of it, it'll be the same body count. If I know the Most High to be true to his word, I know bodies going to fall in this country. And there's going to be a lot. And I guarantee you it's going to be people who so-called call themselves believers. I'll see y'all next week.